The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Yes. Hallelujah!
Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. In the midst of your presence, we just cried out to God and we said, let the Holy Ghost fall on me. Lord, we cannot do anything. Matter of fact, we don't want to do anything without the anointing. Even in our praise and our worship, you said it must be done in spirit and in truth. And while that spirit is the small s, we need to make sure our spirits are right, where we can welcome the Holy Spirit. We need to make sure our spirits are right so we can recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, our coming would be in vain if it were not you are not here. So Holy Ghost, fall right now in this place. Fill up the room right now in this place to God, just like the day when they were in the upper room and they were all on one accord and the Holy Spirit blew right through that place. Blow right now. Break some chains right now. Help somebody to get some answers to some questions, to get some hope and some healing. Lord, we need you, Lord. If we ever needed you before, surely we need you right now. And so, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, I dare not stand except standing, being undergirded and filled with the Holy Spirit. For Lord, it is not my will, but thine will be done. As a matter of fact, dear God, I wish to decrease, that you would increase in this place. Even now, frustrate Satan's efforts to frustrate your people. Lord, give me clarity of thought and speech, and we'll be ever so careful to give your name all the praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Somebody shout amen in this house. Shout amen. Amen is means it is so. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen, and amen. If you could remain seated, standing on your feet. Amen, amen. We thank God for the presence of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Amen, amen, amen. Again, we thank God for blessings too numerous to name. We thank God for even blessing us with some stuff that we don't deserve, unmerited favor, and withholding some things that we probably do. Matthew chapter 25, it's from whence the word of God is going to come. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you do so in honor of the reading of the word. This morning I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. It says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready, good God Almighty, says the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. We are in the awesome season of Advent. Some folk call it Christmas. Some folk got the nerve to take the Christ out and just call it Xmas. And some folk, especially in the corporate world, they don't know what to say to folk, so they just say Happy Holidays. Christmas music is blaring. Some folk have the trees up, and if you don't, that's okay. Some folk are already hanging lights. Some people have already bought presents, and some are already wrapped. And there's a whole lot of preparation going on in remembrance of what was. But this morning, or on today, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, I need to ask you a question, and I need to ask you nonetheless, are you prepared? Come on, somebody, you may be seated in the presence of our God. Are you prepared? Hear me when I tell this story. The story is told that one day the evening news was reporting on a photographer who was also a skydiver. He had jumped from a plane along with several other skydivers and filmed the group as they individually dove out of the plane and opened their parachutes. As the video was being shown of each of the member of the crew jumping out and then pulling their ripcord so that their parachute opened to the wind, the final skydiver opened his chute, but then all of a sudden the picture went berserk. The announcer reported that the cameraman had fallen to his death, having jumped out of the plane without a parachute. It wasn't until he reached for the ripcord that he realized he was free falling without a parachute. Up until then, however, he was enjoying himself and was absorbed in what he was doing. But tragically, he was unprepared for the jump. Hear me today. It didn't matter how many times he had done it before or what skill he had. By forgetting the parachute, he made a foolish and deadly mistake. Nothing could save him because his faith, watch this, was in a parachute which he had never taken the trouble to buckle on. That is a story not unlike the parable which Jesus tells here in Matthew chapter 25 about some foolish bridesmaids forgetting to bring something very important and necessary. This photographer, my brothers and my sisters, this man was not ready. In other words, he was unprepared. It wouldn't do any good for him to try and borrow a parachute of somebody else on their way to meet the ground. Again, he was not prepared, and he passed on to a point of no return. Talked about how we're in the season of Christmas or Advent, and you've heard me teach it before. The word Advent means coming or arrival. And so the season of Advent is one marked by the themes of preparation and readiness for the coming or the arrival. And who is it that we are waiting for. It is none other than the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Emmanuel, I taught it last week, God with us, but his name is Jesus. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. We prepare to receive Jesus in the celebration of the first advent while waiting for the second. Being prepared and ready is important. There's an old saying where someone says, if you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. Advent is about preparation. And while, again, there will be preparation of our homes and preparation of meals and preparation of presents, etc., and all of that is fine. I'm not here to knock those things. But the problem is, what is often neglected and really the most important should be the preparation of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our souls. Today from this text, a familiar passage of scripture, but I thank God for the fresh manna from heaven. Amen. For there are some valuable lessons we can learn from this passage. First lesson that I want to see that the Holy Spirit helped me to pull is that you must be spiritually ready. If there is one thing that Jesus consistently and continually preached, it was that we need to be ready over and over and over again. We hear him say in scriptures like Matthew chapter 24:44, he says, so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you don't expect him. Amen. Probably the most troubling aspect of ministry, and I'm just talking from inside my spirit, one of the most troubling aspects of ministry, especially in our society today, is the fact that we live in a culture that gladly accepts, this is what I was talking about in Sunday school, they gladly accept spirituality. In fact, there's a majority of the population who actually claim to be Christian, or at least spiritual. Today we hear a whole lot of people, especially amongst our young people, our young adults, they like to say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. In other words, they're saying, I'm spiritual, but I'm not affiliated with any specific religion or institution. Here's the problem. Problem is, for many people, the term being a Christian, listen, for them, it just means believing in a higher power. It means, help me to teach, Lord. It means believing in something outside yourself. But I need to speak very clear and very boldly today that you need to know that just believing in something does not make you a Christian. No, ma'am. No, sir. Jesus knew that there would be many false prophets, many who claim to have the answers to our spiritual questions. So he made it clear that there was only one way to reach our goal to be a Christian, one way to get to heaven. There are not many pathways to heaven. There's only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no one, don't care who you are, black, white, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, Baptist and the non-denominational. He said, no one can get to the Father except by or through me. That's it. So the question is, what does it mean to be ready? Well, here's another story. The story is told of a man who had an emergency and he needed his suit dry clean before he left on a trip. He's about to leave on the trip in a few hours, but he remembered a store with a huge sign that said 1 hour dry cleaners. Cleaners was on the other side of town, so he drove out of his way to drop off his suit because he needed that suit. So when he got there, after the clerk filled out the necessary information, he told her, he said, listen, I've only got a few hours, but I have some errands to run, and I'll be back in an hour to pick up my suit. She looked up and she said, well, sir, I'm not sure. Your suit won't be ready for a couple of days. Matter of fact, it won't be ready until Thursday. He said, I thought you did dry cleaning in an hour. She said, where did you get that from? He said, well, that's what the sign says on the front. She says, no, that's just the name of the store. That's not what actually we do. Where are you going with this, Pastor King? Here where I'm going. There's a whole lot of folk. Help me to stand tall, dear God. There's a whole lot of people and a whole lot of places who got signs hung up and got signs across the front. And they say that they are Christian, but they fail to deliver the goods. Watch the text. Watch the text. I found it interesting, Sister Loretta, that in the parable, the virgins all appeared to be alike. They all thought of themselves as bridesmaids who were acquainted with the groom. Typical of bridesmaids, you know, presumably they were all dressed alike. But even without me presuming that, the text is clear that they were all expecting the bridegroom. And when the bridegroom was delayed, the Bible says that they all fell asleep. Can I preach and teach this thing? They all had lamps. All of them trimmed their lamps. They all wanted to be part of the wedding feast. However, not all of them were prepared. Some of them failed to bring oil for the lamps, as unimaginable as that seems. There's a warning. That's a warning from this parable. I'm talking to somebody and I don't mean no harm, but I'm here to let you know, be sure that you are truly prepared. Because it's possible, teach Holy Ghost, to just look like everybody else, talk like everybody else, go to church like everybody else, carry your Bible and desire to go to heaven just like everyone else. Now you think you are Christian, but yet ultimately you are unprepared. Oh yeah. It's possible. It's possible to know about Christ and not know Christ. It's possible to know the Bible and not be living for the God of the Bible and not doing what the Bible says. Oh, yeah, I was listening this morning. It is possible to be a nice person and to know all the right doctrine, yet you have no relationship with God. It is possible to look just like everyone else, to have your Christianity on the surface while never allowing it to penetrate who you are and change the way you live so you can talk about whose you are. Folk are quick to tell you who they are. They forget to talk about whose they are. All of the bridesmaids slept. But let me share. While some will emphasize the sleeping, there's actually nothing wrong with that. What do you mean, Pastor King? Well, I mean, come on now. Normal life has to go on while we are waiting for the bridegroom. We have to work. We have to eat, we wait, and we sleep. Hospitals need to keep functioning. Babies are born. people need to be fed. Church services will continue to be held until the bridegroom comes back. Listen, the routine of life just must roll on as we await the time when we stand before the Lord. It's time, however, Jesus said in Matthew 24, 37 and 39, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it's going to be, the coming of the Son of Man. Important point is that we not get so caught up, however, the routines of this world. We get caught up in the routines so much so it can even happen in church. Get caught up in routines. This is what we're always supposed to do. This is what we always did. This is what we do every time this time of year. But if there's no preparation, we must not ever forget the things that are not going to always continue as they are. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there's a new day coming. Some of the bridesmaids slept, but some of them, their sleep was of laziness and indifference. While there were some others who slept, watch this, that's why there's different kinds of sleep. There's a sleep of laziness and indifference, but some had the sleep of peace. Whew, Jesus. Jesus and security, knowing that they were prepared for the bridegroom's coming. It's not that the foolish bridesmaids, again, I was listening to Sunday school. It's not that the foolish bridesmaids didn't know that they needed oil. It's not even that they forgot. It was a matter of foolish negligence and laziness. As a matter of fact, listen, we're going to have to just call, listen, just like in the church, sin is sin. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Quit tap dancing all around this thing. The bottom line is they overlooked their responsibility. They ignored what they knew was important. We always want to coddle. We always want to make excuses. I told you, excuses are only good for the person making the excuse. The lesson we need to learn is this. Don't fail to be prepared. You can get dressed for church, but that don't mean you prepared to go to heaven. In other words, the text says, don't neglect to have oil in your lamp. Now, before I move on, because I never know who's listening to me or who's got their tape recorders out, everything is on video. Some of y'all might be live streaming now. Before I move on to my next lesson, just let me be clear. All throughout the Old Testament, we find oil symbolizing the Holy Spirit. So in other words, the five who were wise had the Holy Spirit in their vessels. In other words, the true believer has the Holy Spirit in his or her heart, witnessing to their salvation and sealing them to the day of redemption. The Bible says in Galatians 4 and 6, because you are his sons, God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba Father. Listen, don't ignore what you know to be important. For the closer it is to his coming, really the closer it is to his return, the more important it is for all of us to be prepared. The truth is, however, no one can do it for you. No one can do it for you. I don't care how much God tells you to do this. Nobody can do it for you. Guess what? It's still up to you. Which brings me to the second lesson of the parable. Again, nobody can do it for you. In other words, hear me, no one can wear a parachute in your place. And I don't mean any harm, but I need somebody to know, no one can loan you theirs. Doesn't work that way. Do me a favor, turn to your neighbor, turn to another one. The other one didn't like you turning to them before. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you need your own. Foolish bridesmaids saw that they didn't have enough oil. They didn't have enough oil. And they said to the wise in verse 8, give us some of your oil. Huh? Bullying tactics. Give us some of your oil. But it wasn't possible, Brown. And what that teaches us is that another person's faith won't cover you. Just because you were raised in a Christian home or you are in a church where there are people of faith doesn't necessarily mean that you yourself have faith. Huh? It's not going to rub off on you just because you're sitting next to someone who has a personal relationship with Christ. Listen, I know I talked about having a slight cold, but you can't catch faith like you catch a cold. The other thing you need to know is you can't borrow it from your friends, and you can't purchase it from your parents. God does not have grandchildren. He's got children. And every spiritual birth comes directly from Him. That's all y'all was trying to say this morning. Every spiritual birth comes directly from Him. Your faith must be your own. Listen, it's good for us. We do it every time this time of year. It's good for us to sing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." But it's also necessary for us to be able to sing, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. This is my story. I mean, you might have a great heritage, but you're going to have to make that heritage your own personal experience. Don't try. Matter of fact, I need to tell somebody, stop trying to borrow somebody else's oil. Be sure you have your own. Do me a favor, turn all the way around to somebody and say, neighbor, a relationship with God cannot be borrowed. No, ma'am. No, sir. Mm-mm. Relationship with God cannot be borrowed. In the story, foolish maids didn't realize, here, watch the text, they didn't realize their need of oil until the bridegroom appeared. They were told, Griffith, to go out and buy some oil. But of course, they found that to be impossible. So what's the lesson? Even within the lesson, it is that means that a relationship with God cannot be bought at any price. Wait a minute. Especially at the last minute. The masterful theologian Matthew Henry once said, he said, there are many who care not to live the Christian life, yet they want to die the righteous death, or they want to die the death of the righteous. Well, that's Matthew Henry. I heard people wrestling with commentaries and comment, you know, that's another person's opinion. I think it's a good one, but let's see what the Bible says. Romans 8 and 9 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they do not belong to Christ. Jesus said in Luke 12, 35 and 36, he says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like the servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. Wise bridesmaids said in verse 9, they said, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Now, of course, you can wrestle with that theology all day long. I don't have time for that. Here's the simple thing of that. The bottom line is God is the dispenser of the oil. That's it. God is the dispenser of the oil. And if you need some oil, quit going, stay off them TVs, quit sending your money, quit writing your checks, trying to write checks for oil, for holy water, for blankets. God is the dispenser of the oil. And if you need some oil, in other words, if you need the Holy Ghost, you need to go to him while it is still time. Like the parachuting cameraman, don't let the moment of death to be the thing that alerts you to your own spiritual poverty. For it just might be that you reach for your ripcord and there's none there. This brings me to the third lesson in the parable. I'm almost through. There really is a time called too late. Huh? There really is a time called too late. Listen, I know we have grieving widowers and we have grieving widows, but the experience of death is the great hope of the Christian. But it's the great fear of the world. And it's the same for the return of Jesus. The second coming, however, won't be like the first. Oh yeah, there's a great celebration of the world. And the second coming is an expectation of those of us who are Christian. But you can understand the second coming of Christ won't be like his first. Come on, somebody. Listen, first, of course, and we still like to keep him there. Born a baby in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. No. My Bible tells me that his second coming or the second advent will be with finality and power. Here's the problem. Problem with today's contented liberal church is that they want to forever celebrate the first advent, which absolutely we should remember and absolutely we should celebrate, no doubt. But the problem is they don't want to be reminded, even though it's true, that someday will be a reckoning when there is no tomorrow. The foolish bridesmaids cried for the door to be opened for them. But the cries, listen, and I heard somebody talk about, this is my commentary. Okay. When I read the text, Sister Ferris, I felt like maybe their cries were a bit disingenuous. You know, folk can create some tears. You know, folk do cry when they before the judge. You want to know, are you crying because you're truly sorry and repentant, or are you crying because you got caught? So I'm reading the text, and I wondered if it was a bit disingenuous, because even though they said they wanted in Cheryl, they never made preparation to enter. What are you saying, Pastor King? Here's what I'm saying. Their preparation would have been the proof of their true desire. God Almighty. Because for me, the most alarming thing in this parable is in verse 10. It says, and the door was shut. Or closed in some translations. Listen, you and I have to live in constant expectation, because there is coming a day when the future will be the past. We must not ignore the warning. So as I get ready to close, yes, Jesus did come, but Jesus is coming back again. And when he returns, the question is, will he find you awake and alert? Or will he find you sleeping and slumbering? That's the big question of this parable. Satan wants us to be unprepared for the Lord's coming. He wants us to be so lazy, so lukewarm, so laid back, so contented, so nostalgic about the first advent, that even when we retell the story, we wrestle about the facts of the story. And sometimes I sit and I go, we are majoring in minors. We're trying to nitpick the scripture that was all, listen, the Bible wasn't written to us. It was written for us. The best that we can do is try to get biblical interpretation and insight as best we can. But there's one argument you don't have to worry about. Regardless of the facts, Mary, Elizabeth, the shepherds, the wise men, Jesus came. And Jesus is coming back again. The problem is, the devil has us getting so distracted that we get caught up on the first advent, that in essence we're no longer thinking about the second. Bible encourages us in Hebrew 3:12-14. Watch the text. It says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. God made a promise. And he actually made a promise back in the Old Testament, Daniel 12, verse 3. He said, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. It'll shine through. That's why, Sister Cargill, when folk want to come at you with foolishness, you don't have to address all that. Folk trying to get you tripped up in your faith and your conviction. And listen, y'all start pulling the shades up when the Jehovah's Witnesses come by. If you are that concerned about your own soul salvation, then you may need to talk to somebody. Let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. But I do agree, you don't have to get caught up majoring and minors, but it ain't just them. It's all of us. No. Today, yesterday is gone, tomorrow's not a problem. Today, listen, we got a woke generation. Everybody want to be woke. I'm asking, are you awake? And how is your supply of oil? Huh? Don't depend on past experiences or blessings. What about now? Right now? What about today? Again, Jesus is coming back. So let's not just be ready, let's stay ready. It's time. It's time for you and I to look up, look around, and within, and prepare for the great day that is coming. I love celebrating that day that was, but we got to stay ready for the day to come. John 5, 28 and 29 says this, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Hebrews 9 and 28 says, "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Then finally, in that book of Revelation 16, 15, it says, "Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as not to go naked and be shamefully exposed." Are you? I mean, it's a question mark. Are you prepared? That's why we come Sunday after Sunday. It's our preparation. I know some folks say, "I got my ticket." Make sure you earned it. And what I simply mean is it's got to be your ticket. Not somebody else's ticket that you're trying to get in on. Stand to your feet. There's a passage of scripture in here, and I will share with me, and I want to use it as my close. Speaks perfectly, almost the gospel in a nutshell, this season in a nutshell, Sunday after Sunday in a nutshell. But whatever God did on last Sunday, and he blesses us to see this Sunday, that's why we come. We come for fresh revelation. We come for fresh manna. Titus chapter 2, 11 through 14 from the Message translation. I believe it's probably up on your screen. I want us, if you can see it as best you can, if you can see it whether you're in front or to the side, I want you to look at the screen, and I want us to read it together. You ready? All together. God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation's available for everyone. We're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. This new life is starting right now, and it's whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, appears. He offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life, making us a people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Listen, listen, listen.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.